get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Hey everybody, it's me. It's your girl Sassy Scribe of Situations with Sassy, bringing you another hot show here on Bashani Radio in New York City and worldwide on all of the top 3 podcasting platforms. So listen, before I get into today's topic, it's going to be really short and sweet. I just want to say that we have had a new bill passed by that. I mean, Juneteenth is now a federal holiday. And I got a lot of flack online for my comments regarding that. Listen, I think Juneteenth is an amazing, amazing day to have a federal holiday for. I don't know if private corporations are going to view it as such. I know that if my company isn't going to give it a holiday, I do plan on taking it off and using it as a PTO. But I remember growing up, even when Martin Luther King's birthday wasn't a holiday, my mom and dad never sent my sister and I to school on that day. Also, my dad was really, really big on his birthday, so we didn't go to school on our birthdays because that was your special day to do what you wanted. And we were pretty decent students. We were AB students, so he knew that, you know, missing one day wasn't going to set us back that much. But when you look at Juneteenth being a granted a federal holiday, it's great. I celebrated Juneteenth over the weekend with my Harris Family Foundation, and we marched in a parade in Annapolis from the city dock, which is where Alex Haley, the author of Roots, which is where his family landed through the middle after they got through the Middle Passage. And if you're ever in Annapolis, there's an amazing statue of him with some children, and he's talking to them. You know, they have books. So if you ever get to Annapolis, to the city dock, where they used to have slave auctions. I mean, it's a lot of history here in the state of Maryland and Virginia and D.C. and Delaware. It's a lot of black history that they're not teaching, and they want to know how can you pass a Juneteenth bill when you're not willing to discuss critical race theory in classes. And what do you do? How do you explain to the kids, well, we'll give you Juneteenth, but then they write the history books and they're calling slaves, you know, not necessarily indentured servants, but involuntary workers. So they're trying to pretty up slavery when it is it's a scourge on this whole nation. And slavery and racism, to me, it's tandem, it's hand in hand. We see it every day, the racism that goes on blatantly within this nation. So when we talk about the Juneteenth celebration, again, Sassy thinks that's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. But it's also a bone that they're trying to throw at dogs to get them to go away. And that's what I feel like. I appreciate that Juneteenth is a holiday. But how come the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill is still sitting on the damn table? It shouldn't be that hard to get lynching passed. Even when Obama was president and held both houses and Senate, the House and the Senate, right? It still didn't get passed. Democrats didn't pass it. We know Republicans damn sure aren't going to pass it. And they can talk about all the other fat bullshit that's within that bill. I don't give a shit. There's no reason why the anti-lynching bill should not have passed years ago. Years ago. And the fact that it's not, and they're giving us Juneteenth as a way to say, listen, guys, we're still working on the anti-lynching bill, but hey, take this instead, and we'll give you, how would you like a day off of work? Well, not everyone works for the federal government, so everyone may not get it. What about the George Floyd police reform bill that they won't pass. There are other bills, reparations to Black Americans who can trace their roots through the Middle Passage, through slavery. And I know that we had, unfortunately, our family historian on my father's side of the family passed away, but he was able to trace our roots back through the Middle Passage. Blacks built this country for free, the labor that my ancestors endured to build this country and create this wealth gap of 400 years between Blacks and whites. And they give us Juneteenth. And like good little Black folk, we supposed to go and shuck on jive and say, yeah, that's a good thing, sir. I'm glad you did. I can't even do the shit. Like, that's a good thing. I'm glad that you, you know, that you gave us this. Don't look at me as, don't look at it and say, well, Sassy didn't appreciate them giving Juneteenth. Sassy absolutely appreciates it. I just think that we can walk and chew gum at the same time as a nation. I know individually I can, I'm sure you can, so I don't understand why Congress, the House and the Senate as a whole, can't walk and chew gum at the same time and pass an anti-lynching bill, the George reform, police reform bill, a reparations bill, get, you know, student loan forgiveness. Why can't they do all of these things in tandem with one another? Remove the filibusters. It's all of this bullshit, this fat meat that they have within everything, all of this red, unnecessary red tape making everything G5 classified. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But let Bank of America or Amazon or some major corporation about to go under, and they can't do enough to throw money at them. Main Street has been drowning for years, and they squabbled about giving you $300 or $600 as if you didn't deserve it. As if them giving you $1,200 or $1,400 or $600 is something when they're giving you your own damn money back, and they ain't gonna do nothing but figure out a way to tax it later. But anyway, today is Father's Day. I'm recording on Father's Day because I want to talk to the dads in my circle. I'm not going to say in our circle, in my circle, and what it means to them. Because I had an amazing father. And I know over the years, as you listen to Situations with Sassy, and even on my Women Talk Live TV talk show, I talk about how awesome and amazing my father was. If you listen to, you know, the past episodes, it would be my father is. But my father was an amazing man. He was a peacekeeper. He was friendly, talkative. He loved to throw himself a good party. He loved to entertain. He was very social. I know that's where I get it from. He loved to read. I also get that from him. My father would read National Geographic from cover to cover. I really don't know anybody who would read National Geographic like that, but he knew a little bit of something about a little bit of everything. He knew stuff. Daddy was smart. He could build things. He could fix things. Now listen, he made Sam Harris Jimmy rig it up, but it got fixed. And I remember then when he lost his sight and something happened at my mom's house with the furnace. And my father had worked on it for so long. And my brother-in-law, who is an HVAC technician, came down to fix it. And my father talked him through, blind from memory, on where each piece was and what he had done to it. And my brother-in-law, and I'm like standing there fascinated, my brother-in-law says, yeah, Papa, I can see what you did here. And then, you know, he's shaking his head looking at me like he did it wrong. He said, but I can fix it. He said, but he didn't, you know, completely mess it up. He said, the fact that he could explain this to me from memory tells a lot about how much he loved and cared for his home. Because my father also helped to build it along with his brother and nephews. So it was an important process for him. He never wanted anyone coming into his home. And having to go through today, Father's Day, without him, it's and like I said, it's the first of many, but it's very strange. It's sad. He said that one of the best things that he ever did was being a father, not only being a father, but a stepfather to my three older brothers and sisters. That's who my father was. And he would sit down and he would talk to you and he would have conversations with you. And he was always a dreamer and he dreamed big, and some things he accomplished and some things he didn't. But it didn't stop him, and it didn't stop his optimistic outlook on life and how he viewed people. If he would hear my sisters and I saying, oh, this person is ugly, that person is ugly, and he would stop us immediately and say, those people didn't make themselves. And when we were young, we couldn't figure it out, but as we got older, we understood it. They couldn't make themselves. So we became more mindful of it. My father didn't curse. He didn't beat women. He wasn't abusive. He wasn't an alcoholic. He really didn't have any habit-forming devices. Now, he did like to gamble, but it wasn't like he was losing the money and betting the house. You see what I'm saying? So I want to talk to a couple of the men in my circle, and I want to know, what does Father's Day, being a father, and for a lot of men in my circle are stepfathers. And I think I said in a couple of recent shows that most of the people that I know that have children are married to women that they did not have children with. So they are raising other men's children. And some of them are doing a damn good job, and some are failing. So I want to talk to them on what it means to be a father to them, and a bonus dad. Although I don't get to celebrate Mother's Day, I get Mother's Day blessings from my nieces and nephews and my great nieces and nephews, because I can instill wisdom and value and life lessons. So Father's Day is for all of the dads, the stepdads, the bonus dads, the uncles, the older cousins, and elders that are within the family. You can say Happy Father's Day to your friends. There's nothing sexier than an engaged and present father, especially in the Black community, because they say it doesn't exist. But that's the only thing that I know, and that's what I grew up on. My father's father raised them. My father raised us. My uncles raised theirs. My cousins raised theirs. And that's on both sides of the family. Well, you know, there's some exceptions to every rule. It may be, you know, a couple on either side, but the majority of the men that are surrounding me, the majority of the men that are in my life are men who are engaged, active, present dads and stepdads and mentors. And today is their day. And I just want to get a couple of comments from them. And they're not going to like it because I am putting them on the spot, because they are going to be on air. But I just want to get a couple comments on what it means to them. So I'm talking to three young men, and they're going to tell us what Father's Day means to them. Okay, you go first. What does Father's Day mean to you?
To celebrate.
Speak what you feel. There's really no right or wrong answer. Just how do you feel? How do you feel about your dad and Father's Day?
To celebrate how good they are to us.
Okay.
Father's Day means to me to celebrate and appreciate our fathers out here.
All right. And you?
Father's Day means to me.
Take your time.
To celebrate all the things they do for us.
And what's the name, some of the things that they do that you like?
Love us.
Oh, that's a good one.
And what take else? Care of us.
What else? What do you think?
Provide for the family.
That's right, and spend time with you. Okay, so those are three young men. We're going to talk to some other people really soon. Be right back. And you're listening to Situations with Sassy. We're back. I have another young gentleman. He's going to tell us what it means to be a father.
Life. I mean, the responsibility. If you lay down and make a child, you do what you got to do. And coming from a kid that didn't have his father around, I made a vow to myself that no matter what, I was going to be there for my kids no matter what. And I mean, I'm having a fun time doing it.
A fun time doing it. How many kids do you have?
Three boys.
Three rambunctious boys.
Yeah.
But you had a great father figure. You had great father figures in your life, even though your father wasn't there.
But it took a while.
Yes.
I mean, I had a man come in my life that is my father. I, you know, will go to war for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a while. And I don't know, I just... just told myself I was never going to be like the person that birthed me.
Okay.
And that's just what it is.
Well, there you have it. We'll be right back. As you heard from the young men today talk about the love and the reverence that they have for their father, and they were 11, 10, and 15 respectively. And then the dad that spoke was 38 years of age, and he is hell-bent on not being the type of father that his biological father was or is, and he's trying to break that cycle. And in the Black community, you see a lot of a vicious narrative that Black men aren't stepping up, that Black men aren't being the fathers that they need them to be. And it's sad that we have to have television shows that laud, applaud, and revere, you know, what Black fathers do and what they bring to the table and to the community. You know, and it's sad that as you get older, or at least as I get older, and you see the fragility of, and that's going to be a whole other show, but the fragility of the Black male ego with them not having that strong father figure. You see the violence that they have towards one another. And you see the violence that they have when it comes to being rejected by a woman, where they can't take no and they don't know how to back off politely. It's a sad thing to see, but on a day like today, and in Father's Day, and my family is celebrated every day, but on a day like today, to actually see the goodness, not just of my community, but others, you know, within the community saying, this is what it means to them. This is what being a father means to me. This is what my father is showing me. And then mind you that the three young men that I talked to today, two of them are brothers, and one of them is a cousin, okay? But only one of them was the biological son of the gentleman that I spoke to. But the two that are his, that he's helping to raise, he's the one that they look up to. And that right there is priceless. When they said that he provides for them, when the kids say that the way in which they care for them, the way in which they love them, y'all just don't know. I teared up afterwards, but it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing, not only to hear, but to see it with the love. And they were nervous. You have to give them that. They were a little nervous because, you know, this is radio. When I told people I want to, you know, get a soundbite for the podcast, they get really hesitant, but they're not normally these shy kids is what I'm told. But when you look at, when you listen to them, you can really see the love and the reverence that they have for their dads and for their dad and for their stepdads and their bonus dads and you know, the father figures that they have in their life. And it is a truly beautiful sight. So I'm going to end the show. I'm going to say, although today was a very, very hard day for my family, because this was the first day that we didn't have my dad with us. And you can hear my voice now because I've been taping throughout the day. So I've been yelling and screaming and laughing and joking and crying and reminiscing all weekend, and celebrating and grieving. It's been a roller coaster this past week. So this is why my voice sounds this way. But I want to close the show out. I want to wish a happy and blessed Father's Day to all. And when you're listening to this, whatever day that you hear this, whatever day, hour, day, minute, month, whatever, whenever you listen to this, just know that I wish you a happy and blessed Father's Day. And if you're listening to this and you're not an active and engaged father, ask yourself why. Seek therapy and get your shit together and reach out to your children. Do what you need to do, because you will absolutely regret it if you don't. Every day since August 5th, 2020. And really, since my father got diagnosed with dementia, and we saw how quickly that disease debilitated his mind, body, and spirit. Every day I wish that I could hear him say, when I say, "Good morning, Daddy." And he would say, "Good morning, Sandra." Every day I miss that. And I speak to him every morning in the shrine that I've created for him in my dining room. When I wake up in the morning, I open up my house, and the first thing I say is, "Good morning, Daddy." And in my mind, he's saying, "Good morning, Sandra." So for those of you that aren't involved, that aren't engaged, that aren't active, that aren't present, and for you women who are just being nasty because he no longer wants you, but wants to be active with that child, you need to get your shit together and allow him to be that father. Don't deny him access because the two of you are no longer together. Get your shit together. This is too important, not just today, but being a father, being a parent, is too important of a role in a child's life. We see every day, women who grow up without fathers really don't know how to choose men. Men who grow up without fathers really don't know what it means to be a father, to be a man, and how to treat. I'm not saying all, but some don't know. So you got this vicious cycle within our community, dropping seeds, rolling out. The black community has normalized so much bullshit when it comes to our community and our relationships. And I applaud the young man that I spoke to who wants to break that cycle, who is active in breaking that cycle. And that's what we need to normalize. Normalize breaking the cycle. Normalize being a dad. As he said, it's something that you have to do. The children didn't ask to be here. So get your shit together and do your job. That is it for this edition of Situations with Sassy. We are moving into, and at least I hope I'm right, we're moving into, and obviously you can tell that in my exhaustion, I'm not even understanding the fact that this is the first episode of season 20. So join us next week. And I'm going to bring you new, fresh, and exciting content on Situations with Sassy. 20 seasons. That's not 20 years. It's 20 seasons, people. There's a difference. But remember to live every moment, laugh every day, love beyond words. Follow Situations with Sassy on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. And until then, I will see you in a week. Peace.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.